My father, Eddie Greenspan, as you heard from Dan, was supposed to be here today to introduce his longtime dear friend and collaborator, Tony Dube. With his passing came the sad obligation to find another person to introduce Tony. Dan Lang contacted me in January and asked if I would step in. I told Dan I was honored, although a little annoyed that I was asked second, but asked if Tony was okay with me introducing him. I was told that Tony was quite okay. I thought that was very nice. But then again, as my father told me repeatedly over the years, Tony has absolutely no judgment. Dan suggested I speak about Tony's impact on the world of criminology. Sure, I could, I guess. I mean, from what I understand, he's had some impact. At least that's what a few people have said. Professor Rosemary Gardner, a renowned criminologist in her own right, who has worked with Tony for over 20 years at the Center of Criminology at the University of Toronto and co-authored many articles with him, said this about Tony. Dube is not just Canada's most widely read and cited criminologist, but is an internationally recognized expert on criminal justice policy, youth justice systems, and criminal law reform. Tony has authored hundreds of reports, academic articles, book chapters, and books, as well as serving as advisor and consultant to dozens of federal and provincial ministries, law reform and sentencing commissions, and task forces. Because of these and other contributions to criminal justice policy and reform, he has been named a Fellow of the Royal Society of Canada and a member of the Order of Canada. That's a pretty big deal, I guess. But none of that ever really impressed my dad, and I too am likewise unimpressed. What makes Tony so remarkable, what makes him someone worthy of an Order of Canada, is that he successfully maintained an email relationship for many years with a man who never actually looked at a computer screen his entire life. Yes, that would be my father. In April of 2012, Tony sent the following email to my father. I read in the Globe and Mail this morning that you had communicated something to the Law Society by way of email. I figure that someone must be impersonating you because everyone knows that you can't use email. Tony. My father sent the following response. My secretary Susan is my smartphone, my BlackBerry, and my personal computer. I guess being emeritus allows you to read every word in every newspaper every day. We'll talk soon. No, Susan will email you soon. Eddie. In 2013, the two submitted a piece to the Globe and Mail and were told that it would likely not be in the print version, but would only be online. Tony, a truly devoted friend, sent the following email to the Globe and Mail editor. There is a special problem with an online-only column by Edward Greenspan. Eddie is the only person in the Western world whom I know, other than my two-year-old granddaughter, who doesn't know how to use a computer at all. Cell phones and TV remotes are just about his limit with technology. Actually, given her ability to Skype, my two-year-old granddaughter is probably ahead of Eddie on the use of technology. So the problem is that Eddie would never be able to see the fruits of his labor online, and probably still doesn't really believe that anyone actually relies on computers for information. Tony. The Globe and Mail agreed with Tony's request and published the article in print. Tony and my father's friendship spanned nearly 40 years and included over 30 years of him lecturing in one of Tony's undergraduate criminology classes and nearly 5 years co-writing numerous articles on criminal justice policy in national newspapers and a national magazine. They were the ultimate partners in crime. Dan, not collaborators, they were partners in crime. But crime statistics and crime policy, at least. On December 24th, my father unexpectedly passed away. On December 30th, the National Post printed my father and Tony's last collaboration, entitled Stephen Harper's Scary Crime Bluster. My father absolutely treasured every second he spent talking, yelling, disagreeing, and collaborating with Tony for those many decades. It is so poignant and perfect that his last words to the Canadian public were teamed up with Tony. In this last article, the Greenspan-Dube duo once again did not mince words and called Harper blatantly dishonest for suggesting that his government could take credit for crime rates declining. And the duo was never afraid to take on the government. Unless there was a huge backlash, then my dad was prepared to give Tony all the credit. For instance, They co-authored an article in the Globe and Mail on January 16, 2013, entitled "Harper's Tough on Crime is All Torque." Days after its publication, the following email exchanges occurred. "Tony, the article came out today, above the fold and below the fold. Very impressive looking. It has a drawing of a torque wrench. I had never seen a torque wrench before in my life. To me, it looks like a weapon dangerous to the public peace and should be banned. I will mail you a copy of the article as the torque is not pictured in the online version. Hope you're enjoying Australia. Talk to you soon. Eddie." "Hi, Eddie. It seems as if some people don't like our use of the torque wrench, because a torque wrench is a precision tool meant to tighten a bolt or nut to a specific resistance rather than a blunt instrument like a hammer or power bar. I think that we used it correctly, and that what they do is they tighten the system a bit here and a bit there. They don't increase mandatory minimums from 4 years to 20 years. They increase them from 4 years to 5 years. They don't get rid of all discretionary parole. They simply get rid of accelerated parole review. They don't get rid of pardons. They only get rid of them for certain types of offenders. They don't get rid of release of those found not criminally responsible. They just make them stay longer, etc. So we use the right tool. After all, I didn't work at a gas station car repair for nothing when I was 19. So from down under, you now know more about torque wrenches than you ever wanted to. Tony." "Hi, Tony. I'm attaching an email that I received. I enclose a comment about you being an ivory tower elitist and me being a left-wing, terrorist-sympathizing, criminal-coddling lawyer." He pegged that right. "As to the torque wrench, my gut told me that nobody would believe that a Zionist Jew would think I would know anything about a torque wrench. I am going to write the Globe and Mail and tell them that it was your idea to use the word torque wrench. Best regards, Eddie." "Hi, Eddie. Since you're the senior author, the torque wrench theme must have been your idea. If Jews believe in former lives, perhaps you, in a former life, were a car mechanic. Tony." One major piece Tony and my father co-authored was published in The Walrus, an important national magazine. Their brilliant article entitled "The Harper Doctrine, Once a Criminal, Always a Criminal," was published in September 2012. I know personally that my father and Tony worked very hard on this article. Countless emails were exchanged, and drafts went flying back and forth for months prior to its release. No matter where they were, they communicated regularly to complete it. For instance, the two had the following exchange a few months before the article's release. "Eddie, greetings from Dea Mallorca. Attached is another draft. I had hoped to send it to you from Frankfurt, but I couldn't get on the internet. So I am here in Dea Mallorca, Spain. There's a donkey making donkey noises and a rooster who doesn't know it's time to go to sleep. And a walrus paper. Tony." A few days later, my dad responded. "Tony, I read your revision somewhere over Iceland, Greenland, Ireland, and London. I finished reading it while I was eating a German sausage with sauerkraut in Frankfurt. This article is better than the German sausage. To date, I have not seen a donkey in Barcelona nor a rooster. Are you sure you are in Spain, Eddie?" I will share one final email exchange that has nothing to do with any article, but demonstrates their warm friendship and their mutual devotion to crime policy issues. "Hi, Eddie. I thought you should know that you have a friend in Vladimir Putin. I have been reading a draft of a paper by one of my colleagues, Matt Light, who quotes Putin on the death penalty in Russia. Quote, the main thing is not that we have obligations to honor, but that tougher punishment, unfortunately, as much as we would like it to be the case, does not in itself decrease crime rates. The majority of the population would like the death penalty to be reinstated. All of the opinion polls show that, and of course it is easy to get political mileage out of that topic. But that position is irresponsible. I do not share it. And as long as I have my say, there will be no death penalty in Russia. Tony." My father responded to Tony with the following. "I read Putin's comments on the death penalty. He must have been on a high dose of OxyContin. If not, I hope he becomes the next leader of the Liberal Party of Canada." I came across a letter my father wrote about Tony not long ago. These are my father's words, my father's thoughts about him, so I thought it fitting to read them today. "There is no more respected criminologist in the country than Anthony Dube. He is a brilliant scholar who has written time and time again to not only inform policymakers, but inform the public. He has helped shape the debate on criminal policy issues. He not only developed a methodology of gathering and analyzing crime-based statistics that has been adopted by public policymakers for decades, but has convinced our nation to consider crime policy issues in a reasoned and sober fashion based on statistics. It is my honor to welcome Professor Emeritus Anthony Doob.